Let's go ahead and pray. Dear God, we thank you for all that you have done for us. We thank you that you have, through your Son, allowed us to be born again. We pray that you would help us to understand this more, and thank you each day that we have been brought out of sin. Pray that you would help us to know you better and to live as your children. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we consider this passage, and also as we have communion in a few minutes here, let's be thinking about who we are in Christ and what he's provided for us. That's a number of things, but it includes salvation, it includes adoption, and as Jesus says in John 16, when he overcame, he provided peace and courage for us in tribulation. So let's go ahead and I'll read 1 John 5, 1-5. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and observe his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So in this passage, John is making an argument. It's kind of not a traditional argument that we think about. He is essentially chaining different ideas together, and I'll kind of show that as we go along. So starting in verse 1 here, we have two main statements that are made in this verse. They're both absolute statements. Your translation probably has whoever or anyone. So that's whoever believes. And then in the second part of the verse, whoever loves the Father. And so those are the two things that are being talked about in this first verse here, both the new birth, which kind of in the terminology that he uses here reminds us of Jesus talking with Nicodemus in John 3, and then also love. So in the first half of this verse, the main verb is actually not what we start off with, believing, but the main verb is actually is born of God. So here John is equating believing Jesus with being born of God. And is born, it'd probably be better to actually translate this as in the past tense, so has been born of God. So it's not only something that's happened in the past, but it is something that we are passive in. This has happened to us. It's not something that we have done of ourselves. The phrase born of God is something that John uses a number of times throughout 1 John. In chapter 2:29, he is using that there in reference to being righteous. In chapter 3, verse 9, he talks about being born of God in relation to not sinning. In chapter 4, verse 7, being born of God means loving. In our verse here in 5, verse 1, it's in relation to believing. In 5, verse 4, it's in relation to overcoming. And then later in the chapter, 5, verse 18, it's again in relation to sinning. So that's kind of a theme that John has throughout the book. It says also that we are born of God, meaning from God or out of God. And so being born of God has three results. The first is what we have at the beginning of the verse, where it says whoever believes. So the first result of the new birth is faith. And those who are born of God are those who believe that Jesus is the Christ. Moving on into the middle of this verse, John says, whoever loves the Father. And this is the second result of the new birth, is that we actually have love for the Father, for the one who has by whom we've been born again. And so John is equating being born of God as also loving God. So in the second half of the verse we have, and whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. So this is the second main verb that we have here, love. So loving the Father means loving the child born of him. And there are a couple different interpretations that people have had on this. Augustine and Luther both feel that this is relating to Christ when John says the child born of him. Calvin sees that as relating to believers, and you could also take that as referring to both Christ and believers. If you look down into verse 2, though, see that John will be talking about loving the children of God. So in this context, I'm of the persuasion that he's actually talking about believers at this point. So kind of the argument as John has been creating it here in verse 1 is that he starts off with those who believe, and he says those who believe are born of God, those who are born of God love God, and those who love God love believers who have also been born of God. Okay, moving into verse 2, it starts with, by this we know that we love the children of God. The phrase by this I take to mean as referencing what he's about to say as opposed to what he has just said. So the example is to follow here. And he says, by this we know. The phrase, or just using the verb to know, is used pretty frequently in 1 John. It's used in 21 different verses, and that's part of one of the main points of 1 John is he's trying to help us understand what it is and how we can know that we are living the Christian life. However, what we have in the rest of the verse is kind of an unexpected reversal. If you look back into chapter 4, verse 20, John says, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. So there in this verse in 4:20, it says love for God implies love for believers. Now, what we have in verse 2, he says, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and observe his commandments. So he's phrasing it the other way around. So he's saying essentially that love for believers implies our love for God. So this isn't a contradiction to what we had in the previous chapter, but by this reversal of the order or the expected order, he's placing the importance on love for believers. Also, we should remember and be aware of in the Bible, we're not told that we need to like fellow believers. We're told to love them. Because that's a deeper and more important and lasting thing, and that's what John is pointing out here. He also points out in the end of the verse there that we love God and observe his commandments. So love for God means nothing if we aren't obedient to him, and John is pointing that out. So as we see the argument that he's laying out here, just to review that, we start with those who believe. Those who believe are born of God. Those who are born of God love God. Those who love God love believers. And those who love believers love and obey God. So moving into verse 3, we have, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. The phrase love for God is a little bit ambiguous both in English and in Greek. You could take that as meaning love for God or love from God. And I think what John's talking about here, it makes more sense to say love for God, so that it's love for God that enables us and helps us to keep his commandments. To be keeping God's commandments means that we need to be persisting in our obedience. We need to be observing. We need to pay attention to those and how we are acting. And again, he is pointing out here that love can't be separated from obedience. Those need to go together. Then it says, and his commandments are not burdensome. So they are not burdensome to us because of our love for God. And so we have love-prompted obedience, and that helps to make any possible burden light. We also have the help of the Holy Spirit in our obedience. And as Jesus says in Matthew 11, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. So now, why did he bring this up, and why might this be perceived of as a burden? So a burden is a source of difficulty caused by demands that are made on something. And so really what would make this be considered of as a burden as far as obedience to God's commands is the influences of the world. That's both the outside influences of the world on us, and then also the internal influences on us, even as believers, because of the sinful nature that has still has its effect on us. Okay, moving into verse 4, he says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world." So the verse starts off with "for" or "because." So here he is giving us a reason why God's commands aren't considered a burden. So he's giving an explanation for why this is the case. And that reason is that those who are born of God overcome the world. Again, the phrase here, "is born," should probably be in the past tense. And again, it's a passive thing. It's something that has happened to us. However, the word "overcome" is present. This is something that we are currently doing. To overcome is to overcome someone or to vanquish. It also has kind of a primary meaning of winning in the face of obstacles. Calvin said on this section, "But as God does not arm us only for one day, and as faith is not that of one day, but is a perpetual work of the Holy Spirit, we are already partakers of victory as though we had already conquered." So we overcome because we are different from what we once were. We are a new creation by the death of Christ, and that is how we overcome. And we don't just overcome in general. It says we overcome the world. And the world is the system of human existence that's hostile to God, and that is what we have been given power to overcome. So, again, following John's thought here, we have those who believe. Those who believe are born of God. Those who are born of God love God. Those who love God love believers. Those who love believers love and obey God. Those who love God keep his commands. And those who keep his commands overcome the world. Okay, in the second half of the verse, it says, "And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." So most of the translations I was looking at actually have "victory" in this verse. However, that doesn't bring out the fact that this word is actually related to the word "overcome." So one is the noun form, which is here for victory, and the other is the verbal form of that. One translation did bring it out, and they put it this way: "This is the conquering power that has conquered the world, our faith." So victory is more of an abstract concept, but if we're going to make that a little bit more concrete, we could say something like the means of winning a victory. And so the means of winning the victory is our faith. So it says this is the victory that has overcome the world. So here we have overcome in the past tense. And so in the same verse, we have both a past overcoming and our present overcoming. And these are both things that we are active in. This is not something we just let happen to us, but we are involved in this by the work of the Holy Spirit helping us. So even though our overcoming is active, remember that being born of God is something that he has done for us. And it says we overcome the world this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And this is the only time in John's writing that he actually uses the word or the phrase the faith, which doesn't come across here. It's more like the faith of us, which is why translators put it our faith. But that's the only time that John uses that. So faith is our means of victory. And the word faith is actually also related to the word believe, which we've already had in this passage as well. So given this, what might be the picture of an overcomer? There's one that has impressed me and stood out to me, and that is that of a young girl with a very small dagger, and she's actually holding a bridge against an army coming against her. But it's not just her that's able to do that. There's actually a mighty one behind her, and that's what actually keeps the enemy from doing that. And that's similar to the overcoming that we have. It's not through us, and it's not in our own strength. John says in John 4:4, "You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world." And that is how we have the ability to overcome. However, what about the times when we don't overcome? What about the times when we fail, when we sin, and we don't live up to what Christ has called us to? Earlier in 1 John, in chapter 2, he says, "My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world." And John also says in chapter 1, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Paul also talks about this in 1 Corinthians in chapter 10 when he says that no temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man, and God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. So we need to turn to God and seek his forgiveness when we sin, but also know that as overcomers, because Christ has overcome, God also provides us the ability to deny our sinful flesh and to live in holiness before him. Proverbs 24:16 says, "For a righteous man falls seven times and rises again, but the wicked stumble in time of calamity." Continuing with verse 5, it says, "Who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" So here John is equating overcoming with believing, which essentially wraps us back around to the beginning of the section here. So again, overcoming is something that is happening presently, and this is actually also the same form of believing that we had back in verse 1. John, in verse 1, equated Jesus with the Christ. Here he is saying that Jesus is the Son of God. So those who overcome are those who believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. So to review what John has been talking about here, he talks about those who believe are born of God. Those who are born of God love God. Those who love God love believers. Those who love believers love and obey God. Those who love God keep his commandments. Those who keep his commandments overcome the world by faith. And those who overcome believe. So what we have had are, starting with the new birth, we have faith, we have love for God, we have love for believers, and we have the ability to overcome. You may be familiar with some of the other passages that relate to overcoming, probably most notably in Revelations 2 and 3. So as we close here, I'm going to read those. "To him who overcomes, I'll grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. He who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death. To him who overcomes, to him I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone and a new name written on the stone, which no one knows but he who receives it. He who overcomes and he who keeps my deeds until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of the potter are broken to pieces, as I also have received authority from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who overcomes will thus be clothed in white garments, and I will not erase his name from the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he will go out from it. He will not go out from it anymore, and I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and my new name. He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. So, realizing that we have been united with Christ as he overcame, let us be living as those who have overcome and are also currently overcoming. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear God, we thank you that you are our Father and that you sent your Son and that he overcame the world. And we thank you also that we can overcome through him and by the work of your Spirit in our life. Pray that you would help us and that you would increase our faith, and pray that you would be with us by your Spirit, and that you would help us to live lives as overcomers, and that we would bring glory to your name. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.